What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike, with me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about all the news from player signings to USL alignment to home opener and more. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen, out to the middle, back to
just us tonight, gentlemen. Just us.
No guests.
Like, no guests, no. I feel like the past few weeks it's just been nothing but, you know, guests. So we're going to get back to just us chilling, bringing you the news and BSing and going from there. Kev, all good on your front? Welcome back.
Yeah, it feels
happy
good.
Happy 2018.
It feels like it's been ages since I've been on here. I had to, like, dust off the microphone. But yeah, back at it and feeling good. I'm refreshed, my mind's clear, and I'm ready to go.
Do you remember, like, as the season was going on, where we were like, you know what, we're going to plan in, like, a few months of, like, doing nothing, and that didn't really go so well.
It worked out pretty well for me. I mean, it was good. I highly recommend it, guys.
Yeah, no, we were talking off air. We're already looking at, you know, basically working backwards from when the season starts. And we have every single week pretty much booked up. So we're going to be coming at you. No rest for the weary here. But we love what we're doing. So let's get right into it, because there is so much news.
Yes.
I guess the big thing that we'll talk about right off the bat, Hounds have re-signed Joe Greenspan to a one-year deal with an option for another year. I say re-signed. He really, you know, he was with the team for 10 games last season, started every one of those 10 games, played all 90 minutes of each of those games, was a beast. He made the USL's Team of the Week twice and was nominated for Player of the Month in May. You know, basically, he's just a loanee from Minnesota. So, huge signing. I guess gut reaction right off the bat. Josh, what are you thinking?
I was super happy to see the signing. He was definitely missed every time he was not in a game for us. We talked about it last season. Like, you know, that was a big factor. Like, is Greenspan back? And when he got loaned to us there for, like, one game, it was, like, a huge deal. So the fact that we actually were able to sign him, that's awesome.
Yeah. Kev?
Yeah, I mean, I think still for me, Jamal Jack was, like, the defender that I wanted to see. But Greenspan was a very close second. It's weird because, like, I never allowed myself to get too attached to Greenspan because I knew he was only in here kind of initially for, like, a kind of temporary basis. But, yeah, I mean, he came in and it almost seemed like just immediately. He didn't need time to settle. He was back there. He was dominant. He was organizing everything. And no, I think he's going to be huge. I mean, I'm so excited to see a partnership between him and Adewale. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I went back and I tried to see how many games last season he played with Adewale, and it looks like none. He was primarily paired with Jamal Jack and Lalas Abubakar, both, you know, good center backs. So we'll see. Obviously, there's still a lot of signings to happen, whether or not Greenspan and Adewale will be the pairing. I think there's a lot of potential there. You know, a few more stats. Greenspan won 80% of his tackles, 70% of his duels, 81% of his aerial duels. So you've got a big body back there that isn't afraid to throw it around and get dirty. Interestingly enough, earlier last week, the Hounds released a video where Coach Lilly said he was really excited for an upcoming signing that he couldn't announce yet. My question to you guys is, do you think Greenspan was that signing? Kev?
Well, and originally I did, but I mean, we were chatting off air, and you guys don't seem to think that he is. I don't know what's happening, but I mean, if that was the big signing, I would be happy, because I think Greenspan is a cornerstone of any back four. So I feel, you know, if we can keep him fit for the entire season, he's gonna be huge. Yeah, my initial reaction was, yeah, I thought it was Greenspan. Outside of that, I have no idea.
Josh, did you originally think it was Greenspan?
I mean, I was okay with it being Greenspan. Like, I didn't know they had another announcement. Apparently, actually, if you're listening to this, you probably already know who the next signing, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. But the rumor is, from time of recording, that they're going to announce it tomorrow, on Tuesday. So if that signing that they announce tomorrow, like, that could be it, but I just don't know. I think Greenspan is a pretty big signing. So, like, I was happy with that being the signing if it was it.
Yeah, when he originally made the comment, I think that my gut was, you know, there's that excitement of, like, who's this going to be? Who's Bobby Lee going to be excited for? And we've talked about this time and time again about how, you know, it's not a defensive first system. But my immediate thought was, it's going to be a defender. So when I heard it was Joe Greenspan, I thought, of course it's Joe Greenspan. Like, I'd be really excited about that too. We put out the question on Twitter, you know, what position do you think it was that Bobby Lee was referring to? 46% of you thought it would be a forward. 26% said midfield, 16% said a defender, and 12% said a keeper. So the majority of you holding out for an attacking player. So I guess we will just have to wait and see, you know, all of the announcements that are going to be coming up here. Obviously, between now and the start of camp, I know that Coach Lilly was involved with the MLS Combine, watching players going through that system, and so trying to pick off some players coming out of there. So this could be very, very interesting. At this point, based on who the Hounds have signed thus far, we have just enough players to play a 4-3-3 as it stands. And interestingly enough, it's a 4-3-3 in the exact positions. So in keeper, you have Dan Lind. At left back, you would have Raymond Lee. You have Greenspan and Adewale at center back. Jordan Dover, who's a right back. Midfield, you have Kevin Kerr, Canardo Forbes, Cristiano Francois. And then up front, we have Cabe Anjo, Romeo Parks, and Chevy Walsh. So I guess, guys, looking at that lineup... and obviously, like we said, there's still a lot of signings that happen. I can almost guarantee we're not going to see a 4-3-3 all season long. But just looking at that list of players, which one of those players sort of jumps out at you the most and you're most excited about to see take the field here this upcoming season? Kev, we'll start with you.
I'm most excited about Forbes. I know the kind of pedigree that comes along with him, and I've seen him, but I mean, not much. I mean, even if you go to like the YouTube and all that kind of stuff, you know, you don't get a lot of player profiles on YouTube in the USL, so it's kind of hard to find a lot of highlight clips. But I do remember him from playing against him in the past, and I have a lot of excitement around him. I'm hoping that I'm not like overhyping him too much, but to me, he is like the fulcrum of this team right now. I'm super excited to see what he can do.
Josh, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense to say Forbes just because of the fact that he is a known quantity. It's hard for me to be all that excited about the players that are coming back just because I think I know what to expect from them. Now, it is a new system. It's, you know, they have other players to play off of them, so maybe we'll see a new light with them. And maybe we'll get the Romeo Parks that we got when he was first here for the first couple games and he was scoring like crazy. You don't know for sure, but as far as excitement goes, it's the unknown. That's the excitement. So Forbes in the system, it's exciting to think what could be, you know, transpiring there.
Canardo Forbes was the Rhinos captain. Do we have any thoughts on whether or not Lilly gives him the captain's armband over Kevin Kerr? I mean, how do you think that plays out? You're both shaking your head like you don't want to go there.
No, I'll go. I mean, I don't think that's right. I think it should be Kerr. I mean, this is, all intents and purposes, right now at least, this is Kerr's house. I mean, and Forbes is coming into it. I'm not saying he's not deserving. Like, he might be a better player. He might be everything else, but him coming in to the team and Kerr being the, you know, stalwart of the team, he's the one that's been here the longest. It makes sense to keep it with Kerr. And, you know, maybe a year or two down the road, maybe Forbes does, if we have him, but still then, you know, he gets it. But yeah, I think you stick with Kevin as a captain.
Kevin, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. No, Josh nailed everything. To reiterate my stuff with Kevin Kerr, his leadership, his determination, and his skills are unquestionable. It's just for me, he's never really found the right position. And I think it is ironic that last time we you know, you had him on the show and that kind of blowout thing, he did mention, you know, he kind of hinted that his preferred position is kind of in a 4-2-3-1 as one of those three attacking midfielders, which completely makes sense. I could see him there. It's just whether or not Lily's going to go with that system. But no, that's been my only gripe with him. Look, yeah, he's a good captain. He works hard. I'm fine with that. I think it makes sense.
We desperately need to figure out how to get a soundboard in here. So every time we mention Kevin Kerr and just your look, I could just play that wah, 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 wah. And then, like, you could go on your spiel, like, look, you know, it's fine. Yeah. So I guess that I would tend to agree. I think that I'm most excited to see Forbes just because, you know, Josh, like you said, I'm excited about a number of the guys that we brought back from the Hounds this past year, but we also spent an entire season watching them. And I think a number of these rhinos we've watched from afar, and I think Forbes probably has the deepest resume and showing, you know, I think he was in the running for USL Player of the Year a few years back. He's won a USL Cup. I mean, the guy's just a rock in midfield. I think that Francois could be another interesting one. Apparently, his speed and pace is just way up there, so I think he could be really a flashy player to get excited about as well. But, you know, I think just like last year, if we would have had this discussion last year, we all sort of picked other guys in the preseason than the ones that became sort of the fan favorites, or at least our favorites as the season wore on. So I think right now a lot of it is just guessing, but that's what we do at this point in the season because we haven't seen anybody play yet together as a unit. So I think that'll be interesting. The other one I think could be interesting, and I don't know if he'll get the start, is Dan Lind, the keeper that we signed, simply because he played at Pitt. He played with the Riverhounds U23s under Hunter Gilstrap, and he will now be back with Hunter again. And so the fact that there's some familiarity there, I think, could be very interesting. So, you know, obviously let us know who you're most excited to see, and we'll talk about it on the next show as well. Another signing that has the potential to pay huge dividends long term is the signing of Mark Pulisic as an assistant coach. I don't think we touched on this in the last show with Gene, but, you know, he worked with Lily and Rochester, known them for years. They've known each other for years. He gets a lot of publicity due to his son being Christian Pulisic of Dortmund and U.S. national team fame, but his experience with taking young players and making them professionals could be huge for this team. So, you know, that's one that, as I sort of look at the long-term stability, the long-term growth of this team, I think the player signings are exciting. But knowing that you have somebody like Lily, and now you have somebody like, you know, Coach Pulisic that's here. Not to mention, they also announced that Dan Visser and Hunter Gilstrap are going to be back as assistants this year. So I'm really kind of stoked for the coaching staff in a way that I don't think I have been previously.
Yeah, I mean, like, and this is also something that they've touched on a little bit, but it's like building this not only team here in Pittsburgh, but also just building this brand and making this a destination for players. And someone like Pulisic, getting him on here, he's a known quantity. He's a name that's big in the youth soccer and all that kind of stuff. So, like, that is kind of a big name to have associated with Pittsburgh. And the same thing with Lily, obviously, as well. It just, those things mean a lot to getting players to want to play here, and that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, and just following up on that point, yeah, Josh, I completely agree with you. I think if you're trying to maybe pull in new fans, you know, fans that have no idea of the USL or the Riverhounds or whatever, you know, if your friend kind of, you know, elbows you, like, oh, like, Pulisic's dad is coaching in Pittsburgh. Like, that's something where, like, oh, yeah, I know. Like, I played as Pulisic in FIFA. Like, I know him. And, like, and so it's, like, it's things like that that could potentially even bring in, you know, new fans more than anyone like Lily could or something like that. I mean, not this, you know, obviously, Lily has a huge pedigree in U.S. soccer and all that kind of stuff. But it's just the name. It's going to be – that's an easy conversation to have with new fans. Like, hey, Pulisic's dad. Like, come check him out. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Should they sell Hounds jerseys with Pulisic on the back?
I think it's going one step too far. I don't think it's a good idea at all. But it would be cool to have, like, a signing day or something like that. Maybe his son can come visit or even just – talk to the youth academy. I mean, because he grew up in the system, in our system, and, you know, not the Hound system, but in the American soccer system, and he can have some things to say and he experiences. So I feel like that is also a huge draw for the academy.
Yeah. And I mean, keep in mind that I don't want to say one of the big reasons for Christian's success, because his dad will probably deny it, but is the fact that he had his dad to sort of coach and mentor him along. So I think that there is a lot of opportunity for these younger players to come in and learn a ton that could potentially propel them forward. So I think it's going to be awesome. One of the things the USL show pointed out that I think, not that we sort of glossed over, but the fact that the Hounds had sort of this revolving door at keeper last season, and the fact that Hunter was there and sort of kept them all up at sort of a certain level that we need him to be is huge. I think that, honestly, I know that there are times where we've given Hunter flack, but I think that his tenure as a keeper coach for the Hounds is going to be short-lived, because I see much bigger things for him moving forward. I know he had a stint with the U.S. national team, but I could see him moving on to bigger things. And so, obviously, best of luck to him. And it's going to be fun to watch going forward. So that's just a little bit about what's been going on with the team in terms of signings, in terms of coaches' signings, and things like that. So much other big news. The USL announced the conference alignment. So they're sticking with a two-conference format. St. Louis has basically been moved from the East back to the West. They've just basically been playing ping pong the past few seasons, bouncing back and forth. Considering all of the teams currently or soon to be joining the USL, it's only a matter of time before they break that two-conference thing. There are 33 teams in the league right now, and they've announced four more that are going to be joining in 2019 and beyond: Austin, Birmingham, East Bay, and Memphis. And that's not to mention some of the NASL teams that are rumored to be jumping ship, like Jacksonville and Miami. You know, shout out to NASL. They currently have six teams listed on their website. So, yeah, it's not looking good for them. Yeah, ouch indeed. They recently decided to change their schedule to play like European style and start in the fall, I think in a hopes to try to get a few more teams before their season starts, but it's not looking good. I mentioned St. Louis moved out west. We got four new teams moving into the East this year. Two of those teams are brand new: Atlanta United 2 and Nashville SC. It's going to be hard to glean anything from those two other than, you know, we know that our buddy Taylor Washington and Lebo Maloto are both going to be making things happen for Nashville. But seeing that they're brand new, there's not a ton of info that we can dig up on them, at least at this point. We obviously kick off the season with Nashville on March 24th. But the other two teams actually have a bit of history. And gentlemen, I gave you guys some homework to dig up some stuff on Indy 11 and on North Carolina FC. So I can't even remember who claimed what, but let's start with North Carolina FC since we played them in the preseason last year. So who had North Carolina
FC? That's me. That's me. That's
Kevin?
Me. That's me. All right.
Okay. All
right. Here's my little homework assignment that I did that hopefully shed some light on North Carolina FC. So starting off with the head coach before we get into the history, because I think the head coach is one of the more interesting things. Their head coach is Colin Clark. He's from Northern Ireland, and he actually played as a footballer in England for clubs like Bournemouth and Southampton and QPR in the 80s and the early 90s, and he did play in the Northern Ireland national team. So this guy kind of has, you know, a pedigree with him at the very least as a player. So going back to their history, North Carolina FC as a new club was established and announced in 2006. Their first season was in 2007. So they started in the USL and then went to the NASL in 2010. And now they're obviously back in the USL. Their home opener in 2007, they had 6,000 fans, which is pretty impressive. They were originally named the Railhawks. And so the Railhawks was actually selected as part of like a name the team contest, which was won by a local resident, which I thought was kind of cool. Go ahead, Mike.
Hunter Gilstrap left for a while and played for the Railhawks, I believe.
That's not
when we had him on the
research,
show, we talked about that.
Deny.
But yes, yeah. continue.
So the Railhawks won the regular season in 2011 in the NASL, but they fell to the Minnesota Stars in the semifinals of the playoffs. That was, to my knowledge, their most successful season. In 2016, the name change from the Railhawks to North Carolina FC came kind of along with bigger hopes to push for an MLS bid. So this is a club that has ambitions of kind of, you know, expanding their name, expanding the club, and trying to get into the MLS eventually. Obviously, we'll see whether or not that happens.
Some bigger achievements in the past. They've defeated the LA Galaxy 3 times in the Open Cup, which is pretty impressive. Their most successful run in the Open Cup came in their debut season in 2007, reaching the semifinal after beating the MLS side Chicago Fire. And then just more kind of, I don't know, basic info about them. Their primary colors are blue, red, and gold. Their club is located in Cary, North Carolina, which is just outside of, it's Rolla, North Carolina, right? Is that how you pronounce it, Rolla?
Not Raleigh. Raleigh? I don't know.
Raleigh? Okay, maybe. There's a Rolla. There's a Rolla something. But okay, yeah. Raleigh,
I believe you.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
sure.
And their largest attendance came in 2016 when they played the Premier League side West Ham in front of 10,000 fans. And then so they do have an academy all the way down to the under 12s, and they also have a women's team called the North Carolina Courage. So hopefully that's a little more information on North Carolina FC.
Cool.
Do you have any thoughts on the fact that, you know, if you're Charlotte, what you think about a team being called North Carolina FC? You know, kind of like how
I would imagine it's pretty similar to our feelings on Penn FC. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Grumble, grumble, yeah. Grumble.
Yeah. Exactly.
Claiming the whole state for your own.
There was a lot of talk. Well, the USL show, again, they put out a thing about matchups you would like to see, home opener matchups that you would like to see the start of the season, and a lot of people were pulling for Charlotte versus North Carolina FC just to get that rivalry going.
That would be good. That would be really good.
So. Yeah, so we will definitely be seeing North Carolina, I guess, twice this season, potentially 3 times. We shall see when the schedule comes out. Josh, Indy 11. Like I feel like because we played North Carolina FC in the preseason last year, that, you know, a little bit tied to them. Indy 11 feels like completely out in left field. Like I know nothing about it. So what did you dig up on that?
I mean, Indy 11 is kind of a cool story. It's one of those grassroots movements that turned into a pro team. So the Brickyard Battalion is a supporters group without a club to support when they formed in 2011. So they kind of get this whole movement going and trying to do the same thing that the Union did, that Philly did, where they, you know, kind of by demand requested a team, the fans did, and they got one. So that's what Brickyard Battalion did. 2011, they formed up. They started, you know, making a lot of noise about wanting a team. And in January 2013, NESL said, hey, we're giving you guys a team. So it was a pretty cool story. I mean, it's really cool to see when the support is there before the club, because it's easy to see the other way around, marketing, all that kind of stuff. You can kind of feel like that maybe it is just, you know, people trying to sell tickets, but when it's the other way around, it's like, okay, they deserve a club. And they sold like 7,000 season tickets before the club was even a thing. Like a year before they started, they had 7,000 season ticket holders, which is awesome.
That's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Their first game, their average attendance in the first season was like over 10,000. Wow. Highest attendance in NESL. So they're a big deal. Yeah. I mean, they have the support. And the only problem was, after they started, they didn't have the results. I mean, you know, when a team first starts, usually it takes a couple of seasons to get good because, you know, you don't have the players, the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. So they were in like 9th place overall the first 2 seasons. They only played for 4 seasons in NESL. So 9th place, they fire their coach, who at the time was Jürgen Sommer. And then after that, it was Tim Hackinson. There we go. And he's been their coach since. The 3rd season was their best. They finished 2nd overall, and they actually were first in the NESL spring. I don't know if you guys know how it works with NESL. They have like 2 parts to their season, the spring season and the fall season. They were undefeated all of their spring season.
Wow.
So that was their best, you know, time. And that was Tim's first season coaching, Hackinson. So that was really cool, like the team. So it's a big deal. And then 2017, they ended in 6th place overall. So they've had not a huge amount of success, but you can kind of see that they are definitely willing to put their money up there. They have the attendance, they have the backing of their community. So they're definitely going to be someone to look out for.
Yeah.
It is always interesting, you know, as you mentioned, about situations where the fandom is there and the team grows out of that fandom. And especially since, you know, that seems to be, at least from, you know, the way that it's projected, that's what MLS is looking for. Is they're looking for almost a sure thing. And anytime you have a situation where you have a fan base that basically demands a team on the scale of something like that, then that would be the ideal situation for them to move in. We've seen something similar, you know, not that Cincy started the same way, but the way that fans have turned out for Cincy is sort of, you know, it's indicative of that same sort of movement. Now, you know, MLS announcing that they're going to put a team in Nashville and sort of overlooking the Sacramentos, the Cincy's, the Indies, just tells you that there's, you know, a lot more than that at play here. I think, I forget who it was, I apologize if you're listening, somebody on Twitter said, why is it that, you know, to get into MLS, it's sort of, you need a gajillion dollars and, you know, a song and a dance and a horse and pony show just to get in, and in USL it's sort of like you just need a handshake in like 10 minutes and you can have a team.
I mean, yeah, because
there was a discussion about why. Yeah.
Oh, also something to keep in mind with NESL is, or not NESL, with Indy 11 is, even though they weren't doing great in the standings, their fan base didn't like abandon them. Their last season's attendance was like over 8,000 of their average attendance, so it's not like they're like, they dropped a little bit, but it's still a pretty good turnout.
Yeah. So a great fan base. It'll be interesting to see if they travel or if we travel there, but it'll definitely be some fun games to watch there as well as they sort of feel out the USL and get used to it before, you know, who knows how long we'll actually see Indy, because they may get moved to a central conference if the USL goes to a central conference here in a few years, which I feel like they'll have to. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Really, really cool stuff. Good job, guys. I'll give you like a B minus on your report. So yeah,
that's good enough. I passed.
You get a passing grade. So so moving from, yeah, we said there's a lot of news. Moving from teams, conferences, all that to the schedule. We don't have a full schedule yet. The USL is making it sound like we should have a schedule this week. Josh, I know when we recorded last week, both you and I were like, yeah, we'll believe when we see it. And then they announced the home openers. So
I was surprised.
They've got to be close. I was surprised as well. So we shall see, you know, between now and maybe the next show, we'll have a full schedule that we can actually break down and talk about some of the teams and all of that. So keep an eye out for that. What we do know is that the Hounds are going to be kicking off the season on March 24th on the road against Nashville. As we said, you know, Taylor Washington, Lebo Moloto, we're going to be going playing on their turf. So it's a bit bittersweet. I know, you know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of fans that that really like Taylor, that really like Lebo. So to see the Hounds take them on in the opening game is going to be, I don't want to say difficult, but it's definitely going to pull at the heartstrings a little bit. But then after that, the Hounds are going to return home the following weekend, March 31st, for a matchup against Penn FC, formerly Harrisburg City Islanders. That is the day before Easter. So as the Steel Army already pointed out, if you have Good Friday off, should we just start tailgating on Good Friday and let it carry on over?
Okay, can we talk about Penn FC real fast? Are we going to call them, yes, Penn FC, or are we just going to call them the Islanders still, or Harrisburg? I can't get behind Penn FC. I'm okay with calling him Harrisburg.
See, so here's what I was going to propose, is that their logo is atrocious. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they are really pushing hard the fact that, I think it's Rush Soccer, mm-hmm, is the ones who invested, and they have a whole youth system. So that's why the P sort of looks like an R and all of that. I was going to propose that as homework, the three of us and whoever else wants to do it, we should try to come up with our own Penn FC logo that looks better than the one that's there. Like, I'm talking piece of paper, pencil, sketch it, take a picture of it, put it on Twitter. And, like, we can reconvene next week and see who came up with the best logo that's better than what they have.
I like to flip this on its head. It's easy to make a logo better than this because it's so bad. What would be really hard to do is to make a logo worse than this, because that would be challenging. I think it would actually be challenging.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you make a logo that is worse than the Penn FC logo, you win.
That's pretty funny.
Okay, so let's do that. Okay, so that's it. That is our homework for next week. We're each going to try to come up with a logo that is worse than Penn FC. Everybody out there, if you're listening, your job as well is to sketch a logo that is worse than Penn FC. And what we will do is we will compile all of these. We'll put them out on Twitter. We will vote on which one we think is actually the worst of the worst. And then maybe we'll share it with the club and they could take it as consideration. So I'm sure that even as bad as it is, it's probably going to be comparable to what they have now. So, yeah.
It's really to make them feel better about themselves. We want to show them that they didn't completely fail at making a logo. That, you know, it could have been worse. We're helping NFC.
Exactly. We are here for you guys. You know, cross state, we got to look out for each other. We're doing what we can. But Josh, this comes back to your original question. Should we call them Penn FC? Should we call them Harrisburg? Should we call them Islanders still? Or, you know,
I'm going to probably have a problem calling them Penn FC. I'm okay with calling them Harrisburg. Or we could come up with a more fun name like we do for Bearcats FC. So, I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah. Maybe we'll take submissions on that as well. What should we call Penn FC instead of Penn FC? So share your thoughts on Twitter. And we'll compile all of those as well, and maybe put out a vote, and that will be the official nickname of Penn FC will come from you guys, the fans.
And it has to be something we can actually say on air, just so
yes,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that bar there. I mean, I know plenty of names we could be calling them, but something that we don't have to bleep out on the podcast would be preferable.
Yeah, so there's plenty of names to steal, or we probably will call them. That's yes. Just we won't say on air. So yeah. But yeah, I guess now that we know, you know, basically not only who we're opening the season with, but who our home opener is, are you guys excited? Were there any other matchups that you hoped to see as sort of a home opener? Or do you think that getting Harrisburg as the home opener is like the way to start the season? Kevin, what are your thoughts in terms of Nashville, Harrisburg to kick things off?
Well, so I don't want to make any promises, but ever since Nashville was an option, I kind of had it in the back of my mind. Well, that's about a 3-hour drive from where I am.
You're going.
So yeah, I you know, not making any promises, but hey, maybe I can go to that home opener. You know, get some live recording of my thoughts, and we can make a pretty cool episode out of that. But I mean, I'm excited for that personally, just for myself. But no, yeah, I mean, I think
so greedy, so greedy
to have an in-state rival as the home opener is pretty good. I mean, I remember back to last season when we had the Red Bulls. I don't know, for whatever reason that felt bigger, because it was like, all right, we're gonna take on the big guys first game of the season, we're gonna lay a marker down, and we'll see what this team's all about. You know, whereas Penn FC is not going to be that challenge, so I don't know how I feel about it.
Let's not counter, you know, eggs before the hatch.
I got to get the digs in while I can. But no, that's awesome. Yeah, in-state rival, first game of the season for home opener, first home opener. Yeah, that's cool with me.
Yeah, I feel like Josh, we won the lottery. I mean, it's what you want to see for a home opener. It's a game that actually is important to the fan base. It's a game that, you know, we can have fun at. Having the rivalry there as well is just a huge bonus. And I'm personally ecstatic that we got Harrisburg as our home opener.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other team in the East I would be more excited about, and I don't think they're, I mean, the only one that might come close is Bethlehem, just because I know that Penn FC are basically Harrisburg, but I tend to think about Bethlehem as being more established, which isn't true at all, but like that's where my thought goes. So maybe Bethlehem I might be slightly more excited about, but you know, we've got the Keystone Derby to start off the season. It's going to be hard to beat that.
Well, I mean, also with Bethlehem, there's a little bit of a chip on our shoulders with Bethlehem, I feel like, right now, just from the performances from last season. So Bethlehem would be a game where it could be a statement game again for us, kind of like the Red Bulls game was for us. But yeah. Even with that, I still think Harrisburg has to be the top for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy. So start partying now. Start getting ready. As we mentioned, preseason kicks off on February 5th, which is only 3 weeks away. So you know there's going to be a lot of signings to come. You know, we were talking, Josh, you mentioned that the Hounds are sort of teasing the fact that there will be some sort of announcement tomorrow. So we will wait and see whether or not that is sort of the big one Lily was talking about. I know there's a lot of speculation about who it might be, and we're not getting our hopes up about who that might be. I'm not even going to say it on air because that'll jinx it. So we're just going to let it be.
Oh, come on, say it on there. What do you?
If it's not who we want it to be, it's going to be your fault, Kevin. Don't tell
exactly.
Me that.
That's right. So we're not going to ruin it. We're not doing it. No, we're not going to do it. Moving on. Just a few more pieces here. Steel Army. They currently have their 2018 membership package available to order online. It's $25 in person, $26 if you order online. That gets you the scarf for 2018, Steel Army bottle opener, and a membership card, which gets you discounts at local businesses. Josh, we talked about this last week. Annual meetings coming up on Sunday, February 11th at Highmark. That's always a good time. Are you guys getting jazzed for that?
Yeah. And then if you come to the General Assembly meeting, you can pick up your membership package there. So easy to pick it up and get it all early, and it's nice. I think we still have the 10% discount with Piper's and the Chip Chop shop, so that's always the best thing about that membership as far as discounts go. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and at $25 or $26, like, it's worth it just to get the scarf, and then you get the discounts and you get the bottle opener, and you know, you get to help. All of the proceeds go right back to the Steel Army and help with TIFO paintings and all of that stuff. So you're supporting a great group. So even if you don't, you know, Kevin, like you, even if you're going to make it to one game this year, it's totally worthwhile just to chip in the $25-$26 to keep the Steel Army.
I saw the design for the scarf this year. It's pretty cool. It's something a little bit different than we've done in previous years. So
is it, what's, like, I noticed that there was a picture online where it's sort of black and gray. Is that what it is? Or is that sort of a placeholder image?
Nope,
can you tell us?
Yeah. I mean, it is a black and gray scarf. So,
okay, sweet. Well, there was talk last season too about, there was a lot of talk in the offseason, I think, about what would be a cool look for the Hounds. And I think it might have been somebody in the Steel Army that mentioned sort of a black and gray look could be pretty sweet. So that's cool. It's a cool move by the Steel Army. So check that out. You can go to steelarmy.com. I think that's where the pictures are. That's where you can check out, do all that stuff. I also noticed that there was some new stuff in the merch area, some cool T-shirts and things that you guys are putting out. So expanding. It's really cool. Good stuff. We got a Chromecast to give away. So prior to New Year's, we asked you to retweet our end of year show with your favorite soccer moment from 2017. So there are a bunch of people that went out. They retweeted it. Thank you so much. We drew one name out at random out of a hat earlier today. That winner was J Ting Walker at J Ting Walker. He wrote that roping 30 plus of my friends into watching a Hounds game with me, the pregame tailgate was amazing. So first of all, congrats, Jay. We will be in touch to get you your Chromecast. Thank you so much for listening and following and sharing that moment. Second thing, this touches on something that I think we want to try to encourage more people to do this year, and that is bring a friend with you to a game. I know, like, especially like having kids, like roping in additional kids or kids and their parents, just take them to one game. And I think we've all seen it. It's the experience of being there and having fun and watching the team and just having a blast with everybody around you. It gets people coming back and doing more. And so if everybody, you know, can bring one friend to a game each year, you know, we have the potential to grow this fan base substantially, especially considering, you know, the fact that the Steelers are now out of the playoffs and a lot of people are disenfranchised with them. The Pirates are basically trading away everybody. And so, you know, that may not be a competition for sports to watch this spring. Bring a fan. And have a lot of fun. So, on that note as well, we would also appreciate if you were to tell a friend about this show. And again, help us to continue to grow. As the community grows, then we all grow. Everyone benefits. We can give you guys more great content and all of that. So, awesome stuff. I think that's it, guys. It feels like we're ending this show early, even though we're like 40 minutes in. I'm so used to just like droning on forever and ever, but we're going to have plenty of time to do that. We've got lots of preseason left, lots of news that just happened right now. I guess, is there anything else that I missed that you guys wanted to talk about?
No, I think I'm good.
Kev, you're just looking like grumpy cat over there.
I tried to give you the visual cue of shaking my head, but you decided to ask me.
I did.
I will say no out loud.
I wanted to hear your voice one more time before we sign off. So there you go. You're welcome, Pittsburgh. There's Kevin one more time. If you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to bgn.fm. We're going to be announcing some more shows joining soon. So all of them are great. Go check them out. Everybody's gearing up, getting ready for the 2018 USL season. Lots of great stuff there. I will be on the USL show tomorrow along with Evan, who's going to be talking Bethlehem Steel, Brian, who is going to be talking about Cincy, and Joe, who's going to be talking about New York, doing sort of a little Northeast preview. So that show is going to be insane because we're all sort of friends, and it's just going to go on forever. So make sure you check that out tomorrow. You can follow us on Twitter at Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. Like we said, tell a friend. Just drop a little email. Just like, hey, ticked off about the Steelers? Go listen to these guys. They'll hook you up. It'll be great. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about this one. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter, mongols.com. Become a supporter. Thanks.